Happy Friday, everybody, and welcome back to your show. It is the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast with Steel and Flip, another special guest episode for Friday's episode. It is Mr. David Crosby of NHL Quick Hits to break down all of your fantasy needs for the upcoming draft season. Let's get this paper.
You're Locked On Fantasy Hockey, your daily podcast on fantasy hockey. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is going on, buddy? And welcome back to the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. A special episode today with another big-time guest in Mr. David Crosby coming right up. But I got to hit you with the Bet Online news because today's episode is brought to you by BetOnline.net. BetOnline has you covered this season with more lines, props than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Welcome back, David Crosby. Second time joining the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join us. Talk a little bit about fantasy hockey. We're going to get into a few topics today. We're going to get into some future bets. We're going to talk about some sleeper picks. But first, we got to talk about some guys who are owned 20% or less. Some guys that I'm pretty shocked at to see at this list. But Flip, I'll throw it over to you to take it over for this conversation because I know you want some David's insight on this conversation.
Yeah, and David, I really do appreciate your insight. You can check out David across YouTube, NHL Quick Hits. He brings that fire content, but more importantly, this guy knows his stuff when it comes to fantasy hockey. That's why I'm excited to have you back on today, David. And I need to. This is an interesting conversation to have because everybody can go out there and take the top players and just take the best player available and feel like they have a good team. But that's not every league setup. You need to dig in the trenches and you need to get some of these players that other fantasy GMs don't have an eye on. So we're looking at fantasy Yahoo Sports 20% or under. And I need to start with a player with Jamie Drysdale, who I really do think deserves a lot more love. And I understand that he's a young player and it's the Anaheim Ducks. But this is a guy who I think, for especially for keeper dynasties, you got to have your eye on this guy. 32 points last year. I could see 42, 52 even maybe this year. I want your take on Jamie Drysdale and maybe even just the Ducks in general.
I think he's a really exciting young player. I'm a little tentative to say he's going to break that 50-point threshold anytime in the next two seasons. I think while they are an exciting offensive team, I mean, the potential is definitely there. I think a lot of those guys maybe hit their potential for their age last year, and I could almost see them taking a step back this season, at least offensively. I think, you know, they showed the talent that they have, but the winning wasn't there, right? And I think in order to win, they're going to need to improve defensively. And I could just see the staff focusing on them, you know, making those defensive strides. So I think he's going to get a lot of power play opportunity. I definitely think he's going to be fantasy relevant. He's just not a guy I'd be reaching for in the draft.
Interesting. Okay. I appreciate that take. I might disagree with you a little bit on the Ducks because, you know, they bring in Strome, they bring in Vetrano. Mason McTavish is in there. I know that doesn't scream instant success or a ton of goals, but it's an improvement. And I think you hit the nail on the head with the Ducks, and that's not what we're here to talk about. It's the goaltending in the blue line aside from Drysdale. You know, they have Kevin Shattenkirk, Cam Fowler, some aging pieces. So I just do think that he is close. And if you take him in a keeper dynasty, this is might not be that huge year, but he is very close. And I love the guy's game, so I wanted to start there. But Steele, who are you looking at, my friend?
Yeah, you know, this is a guy that you and I actually just talked about on the Locked On Senators podcast as well. But I want to get David's opinion on this too, because this is a guy that I've talked quite a bit about with both of you too, and that's Trevor Moore of the LA Kings. This was a guy that when you and I were doing NHL Quick Hits, this was a guy I would look at a few times or a ton of times throughout the month to pick up on the waiver wire almost every other week because he was getting that opportunity on the second line with Victor Arvidsson and Philip Deneau. He found the chemistry alongside them as well. 48 points last year, career high. Do you think he can kind of continue on that pace, putting up 45, maybe 50 points this upcoming season, playing with those two guys, Deneau and Victor Arvidsson?
I think he's going to be exactly in that range again. Yeah, I like that line. I think they have a strong top six. Again, they're an exciting young team. They almost straddled the line a little bit more than Anaheim does with you know, some of those veteran guys who are just in the tail end of their prime, maybe a little bit past their prime, who can shelter them a little bit, you know, play the tough minutes and let that second line come in and get some points. So I think Moore is the type of guy that if you're streaming, if they've got four games in a week and you're looking for somebody to fill in the lineup, I think he's definitely a guy I'd be looking at.
I like that angle. Those are some of these, you know, some of these players you got to take these specific angles with, because if you don't know what you're doing with them and you take them in the wrong spot, you will get burned. That's a fact. That's what happens with fantasy sports. This is a spicy situation coming up to a season where, hey, we know the Colorado Avalanches of the world. We know we're expecting big things from the Rangers, Carolina, and otherwise. But I look at that Western Conference and I look down, you know, the bottom 5, 6, 7 playoff teams. I think it could be wide open. So I'm intrigued to see what happens this season always. But I want to talk about a player very quickly before we get to break. I mentioned there quickly the Carolina Hurricanes. Martin Nikash. Last year, 14 goals, 26 assists, basically the same year the year before. I think maybe there's a little hole to be filled with Max Pacioretty's injury. I know he plays on the right side, but I think there might be some opportunity for him. He's only owned at 12%, 40 points. I don't know what you think about this player, David, but I got my eye on him.
He's the type of player where it almost fits the team so perfectly. Everybody is waiting for Carolina to have that signature season where you can see the talent. You love the team they built. They've got great coaching, but they just can never seem to get it done. And I feel like he's just like that type of player. When you watch him play, he can have his electric moments. You know, he's offensively, he's quite gifted. And I do think the opportunity's there for him. I think even when Pacioretty comes back to the lineup, there's going to be so much focus on him that they kind of remind me of an Eastern Conference Minnesota Wild, just with more experience, where they're top nine, you know, they've got talent all the way through all those top three lines. They don't necessarily stack that top six. So I think even if he falls down a line into that third line, he could see some power play time, and I could definitely see him producing as well. Not to take over at all here, guys, but I was kind of juggling between two guys that I'm looking at, both 10 to 11% owned. And I'm wondering if either one's on your radar, or maybe which one you'd prefer. I've got an idea of which one Steele's going to go to, so hopefully he can keep that bias at bay. But Alex Newhook, you mentioned the Colorado Avalanche, 0% drafted, 10% owned. He's above a point per game player in college. In the AHL, same thing, just under a half point per game in 77 with the Avs last year. I think he's the top candidate far and away to take that second line center job that Nazem Kadri left. Yep. The Avs, they lost a ton of offensive firepower. I think Newhook is going to be the biggest beneficiary on the team. I wouldn't be surprised if he cracked 60 points. And I think, frankly, you could probably get him in the last round, maybe even as a free agent if you've got, you know, a 12-team league. The other guy who I think is in a really similar position, Marco Rossi, 11% owned. Kevin Fiala's out the door. Yep. Matt Zuccarello's a year older. You know, Rossi's almost more of a low floor, high ceiling kind of guy more than Newhook is. But I think the ceiling's actually higher. I think he has a chance to take the number one center and the number one power play opportunity there. I think, you know, Steele, maybe you can speak to this a little bit more, but I think Ryan Hartman is a little bit more of a second line center than a first line guy, close to a point per game in the AHL for Rossi last year as well, and a huge contributor in the O. So what do you guys think about that?
Well, with Marco Rossi, I'm not sure he gets that first center right off the bat. And I do agree with that. Ryan Hartman is probably more set and would fit better in that second line, that second center role. But the chemistry he's found with Kirill Kaprizov and Matt Zuccarello is kind of undeniable at this point. And playing with those guys has really elevated his game too. Like, he has a wicked shot now. Like, he was not like that when he was playing with the Chicago Blackhawks, I believe it was just a few years ago, or the other teams he was on. But yeah, I think he's really found his groove, and this has this really nice chemistry going along with, obviously, when you play with a talent like Kirill Kaprizov, it's going to elevate your game. But that's exactly what he's done. So I'm not quite sure if I'd go with Ryan Hartman. And I know you're probably thinking that I was leaning towards Marco Rossi, but I think you hit the nail on the head here with Alex Newhook taking that center, that second line center role, and getting that opportunity and potentially getting to 60 points. That's who I would be favoring and prefer probably as of right now, especially with the talent that he's playing with all around him.
We've brought up Alex Newhook a number of times on this show, so thank you for doing the same, David. I appreciate that. I appreciate your time today. And we got a lot more to talk to David about right after the break, but we got to pay these bills, baby. So that means it's time for betonline.net, your number one source for football betting this season. Find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. As always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all of your sports wagering information, from live betting and up to the minutes. Every sport is on BetOnline.net, the fastest and easiest way to check in on all of your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and even golf. Head to BetOnline today or use your mobile device to learn more. BetOnline, where the game starts.
Thank you so much for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey podcast your first listen every single day. Thank you so much for David Crosby for joining us today, the second time in 8 months. You know, we're going to have you back on throughout the season as well. Sure. We love having you on here. Great conversation. Flip, I'd actually like to hear, I think I know you're leaning towards Alex Newhook, but between Alex Newhook and Marco Rossi, who would you lean up or who would you prefer?
I know Marco Rossi is getting a lot of love, and what you brought up is all accurate. I just think what Steele said about the chemistry between those three players, they are going to have to struggle pretty mightily off the jump for them to be broken up. I just think that they proved last year, all year, that they are the go-to. Does that mean Marco Rossi doesn't get a look? Absolutely not. I just don't know when. So I think when it comes to, we know Newhook's going to be right there in that mix. He is going to get that shot. Both players are, though, intriguing. That's the bottom line. Both players are intriguing, and if you can stash them, or you're in a keeper or dynasty and, you know, there's people sleeping on them and they don't have them already, both are good options. But I say right away, I'm leaning Newhook, but that's only because I've talked about him at length. And, you know, Steele, you know me and you, when we say sticking to our guns, I'm going to stick to mine.
Yeah, you know, I think we have to at this point because we've backed it up so many times about certain players, you with Seth Jarvis, Alex Newhick, a couple players, me, Tanner Janot, who I've talked about. And Flip, if it's okay with you, I'd kind of like to move on to the futures bets and get David's opinion, unless you have something else you want to discuss.
One last player I want his take on, because our boy Josh Wegman of The Score was on, and he talked about this player as one of his breakouts. Cole Sillinger is a player that I think is have a big-time season. I know. Small sample size, 16 goals, 15 assists, and 79 games last season. He is a very, very young player, talented. He played most of the year in the NHL, I believe, last year as an 18, 19-year-old. I'm not good with the numbers, but what I do know is this kid is going to be a really, really solid NHLer. And I think the Columbus Blue Jackets are one of those teams that I can't put my finger on what's going to happen, but I have a feeling they're going to score some goals.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think a lot of people are sleeping on Columbus. And frankly, I was looking at where Patrick Laine was getting drafted today, and I was just shocked. Like, do people think Gaudreau is going to just take all the goals on the team? He's going to make him better, right? I don't really understand that. And I think Sillinger, another guy, similar situation. I feel like they don't really have a number one center. I don't know if Sillinger is going to be that guy. I think if you project his talent out, he could probably get there. He's that type of pedigree. But just to have that opportunity, it's rare you're going to find a guy who might be a number one center by the end of the season on a top power play line, and you're drafting him at the end of the draft. So 100%, if I had a chance to jump on him late, I'd definitely do that.
Appreciate that. Steele, take it away, brother. Big time bets, early predictions. Let's get it.
Yeah, big time bets, early predictions. I'd like to get both of your opinions on these parlays I just made the other day. And I'm gonna, you know, it's not just hockey. I'm intertwining all four major sports groups into this parlay as well. I'm picking the future champions in these four sports. So I wanted both of your opinions, but I'll start with you, David, because we've kind of gone back and forth with some bets as well. But so I've got the Buffalo Bills at +400. To win the championship, New York Yankees at +500, the Golden State Warriors at +600, and the New York Rangers at +1800, 14 parlay. You know, I feel pretty confident about this one. I have another one as well that's a little bit more of a boost odds wise, but I do really feel comfortable with those four selections.
You know, it's so interesting right now that I feel like it used to be better to pick some of the long shots and maybe cash out partway through the season or just see if you get lucky with one or two teams. Doesn't it feel like now there's like four or five teams max who you feel like are really going to be there at the end of the season in all these major sports? And, you know, I can't hate on any of the picks you made. I don't think the Rangers would be my top pick to
really
win.
Okay.
But I certainly think to juice your odds, the fact that you're picking three teams that I think are not consensus favorites, but certainly up there as far as having a really good opportunity to be in the final four. I think, you know, the Rangers are a good bet, at least at their odds, probably 18 to one, something in that range, maybe 20 to one, you put them in. So, I mean, they've got the talent to do it. When you have Shesterkin, I don't know. It's certainly possible.
Yeah. Really good point. Vezina winner, number one goalie in the league right now. Andrei Vasilevskiy might have something to say about that, but the conversation could be had. Where I've been looking, aside from, like, I have a bunch of deep sleeper picks, bets, you know, peripheral Nashville Predators and such. There's two teams I'm looking at, one in the East and one in the West. And again, I'm going to keep saying the same thing because I don't want to flip-flop around, no pun intended. It's the Carolina Hurricanes in the East, and it's the Edmonton Oilers in the West. And I know the Oilers take is definitely a bolder one than the Carolina Hurricanes, a much more complete team. I think we can all agree on that. But those are the two teams that I think for their odds, and I understand both of them, I believe, are top seven or something like that for the best odds for the Cup. Those are the two teams that if I'm predicting a final, it's Carolina and Edmonton, and I'm fine with sprinkling a little 20 or 30 bet on both.
I like that as well. I think you know there's some of the guys that are some of the teams that are right in that conversation, and they definitely deserve to be there. I've been a little soured on champion bets recently, to be honest with you. I mean, I like that you brought up Nashville. They're one of the three teams that I've kind of had my eye on. I think Tampa Bay has the best value. 12 to 1, you can get them at still. I mean, every year we keep expecting them to tail off, get tired. But the fact that the Leafs and the Panthers have shorter odds than the Lightning, to me, makes absolutely no sense. Yeah, I mean, I don't think people come to this show to – you're the favorites or, you know, a top four team. Nobody likes to bet a team with short odds like that. I think Nashville at 50 to one, you know, you kind of nailed that. That's a lot of value. Pittsburgh at 22 to one. It's intriguing. I think Malkin could be, you know, better than he was last season, certainly. And anytime you have Crosby in there in the mix, they've got a chance. A couple sort of random bets that I've been mulling over. It might seem like a waste of time to people to bet any other team than Arizona or Chicago for the worst regular season record. I totally understand that, but their odds are so short, frankly, it's not even worth it. What about a long shot on a team like Vegas at 80 to 1? They have the 11th highest odds. I'm not even sure they're a top 20 team anymore. No Pacioretty, no Leonard. What if Eichel gets injured again? Like, if Eichel goes down, I don't think it's ridiculous to think they could be one of the least talented teams in the league. And then Vegas plus 215 to miss the playoffs. I like that one a lot, too.
I love that. This is why we bring you on the show, David, because that's getting some money of mine. That's for sure. And those are good points. A lot of people are, I think, on the other side of the fence with the Golden Knights this year, expecting maybe a bounce back. A lot of bad hands dealt their way last year from injuries to COVID and otherwise. But they're dealing with the same thing again this season already. And look, Logan Thompson, I understand people can talk about him till the cows come home as one of those guys that you can snag at the back end of your draft to steal some games. If you're relying on Logan Thompson and Laurent Boisseau in that division with the teams on top of them that they have, I love the plus money there. That's going to get a sprinkle for me. And much love for doing that for me, David.
Yeah, I think we're in all consensus that the Vegas Golden Knights are not making the playoffs now.
Hey, plus 215, I think you said. I'm hoping they don't because that's about to get hammered.
Well, you might not want to sprinkle too much on this one, but if you like plus money, what about San Jose to reach the playoffs at plus 925?
No.
Plus 925. Steel.
Let the man elaborate.
If you play this NHL season nine times, don't the San Jose Sharks make the playoffs two or more times? I mean, that is just way too high. Like, do I think they're a great team? No. Could they sneak into the eighth spot? Absolutely they could. I mean, I just don't think they deserve to be in that huge odds category. Even if you're going to cash that bet out halfway through, maybe they start off really well. I just think the odds are off on that one.
Hey, odds are odds. I'll let Steele take away that take because that is potentially the spiciest one I've ever heard from you. But I like leaving it off on this spicy note because I think right there, I got no follow-ups. Let that one simmer. Let that one marinate for the listeners out there. I'm going to have to do my research on this because the last time I checked, that lineup in San Jose has more holes than, you know, I don't even know what, but it has a lot of holes. And let's see what happens with the San Jose Sharks. That might not be a bet I want to touch with a 10-foot shark pole, but we'll see what happens.
I do like the fact that you're bringing out the cash out option, though, because, look, yeah, they could get off to a hot start. And then, you know, by December, who knows where they're at that point. And then you have that cash out. Well, I do want to get your opinion real quick on this last bet. It's pretty much the same one as my first parlay. But, again, when you talk about the Nashville Predators, I've got the Nashville Predators at plus 500. Again, the Bills. I do have the Phoenix Suns at plus 900. And again, the New York Yankees, $5 bet, $5 down wins you a total of $76,000. So it's worth the shot. It's worth the shot. But I do really feel comfortable. Again, like you said, that's one of the teams you've been looking at. I really think the Nashville Predators are undervalued right now.
I mean, it's hard to look at that and think that's not $5 well spent, Steele, because, you know, those stars could certainly align there. And I'm not going to throw out a pick for this one, but one thing I'm really interested in is the Vezina odds and Vezina betting, because I was looking at Vezina winners since Martin Brodeur. I think he had 4 in 5 years or something like that. Ever since he went on that run, there's really been like no repeat guys, nobody who's coming up over and over again. And I think, you know, last year I went with the Nashville route. It didn't really work out that for me. UC Soros had a great year. Didn't win it. I think if you can pick somebody like that who is in that middle way or even bottom half of the odds, it's so hard to predict year to year what goalies are going to be like that. If you like a goalie and, you know, people are kind of underselling what he's worth, I think that's a good bet too.
Love it. Well, love it. Maybe even a guy like Ilya Sorokin, eh, Steele?
Well, no, I have UC Soros winning the Vezina Trophy this upcoming season. So the fact that you bring that up just makes me a little bit more confident when David Crosby backs it up too. So, yeah, I've got UC Soros. Ilya Sorokin's a good option as well. Thank you, David, so much for joining us for today's episode. Thank you guys out there for making the Locked On Fantasy Hockey Podcast your first listen every single day. But for your second listen, go check out Locked On NHL, your daily 30-minute NHL podcast. It's free and available on all podcast platforms, just like this podcast right here. So make sure you subscribe. Make sure you hit the follow button. All the love and all the support. Thank you so much for that. Again, David, thanks for joining us for today's episode. Thank you for your future bets as well. Good luck with all your bets out there, and we shall see you back here again on Monday.
Peace.